This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. The Jefferson County School Board meets tomorrow night and could form a committee to review curriculum, starting with Advanced Placement U.S. History. There's a new framework for how to teach it. This committee would review for, quote, accuracy, omissions, and materials that may be reasonably deemed objectionable. Hundreds of Jeffco students have left the classroom to protest in recent days. But concerns over these new AP history guidelines didn't start here. Conservatives in Texas, for instance, got them thrown out, and the Republican National Committee has decried the new framework as radically revisionist. Today, we meet a Colorado man who 7 years ago helped develop this new framework for the nonprofit College Board. Fred Anderson is a history professor at CU Boulder. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
What were the key things you wanted to change about the AP U.S. history curriculum?
Well, the way that AP was being taught in 2006 wasn't necessarily bad, but it was textbook-driven. And it's important to understand that the AP courses are supposed to resemble, insofar as possible, introductory college courses in the topic. In this case, U.S. history isn't taught like that in colleges. We don't simply run through a textbook and cover a lot of factual information, but try to teach the students how to think historically, how to conceptualize, and how to make arguments. And it struck us that if we could, you know, introduce fewer themes and then reconstruct it according to a broader periodization, in other words, instead of 25 or so periods in which history was to be taught, to reduce it to, say, 9 broader ones, then you could hit the right level of generalization that would allow students both understand factual material and see larger connections and make bigger arguments.
And so there's a paring down there, if you will. And is there, as a result, an elimination of particular topics or times or figures?
No, there's not an elimination of particular times or figures or topics. That's not the idea. The idea behind it was to teach 500 years of the American past from the late 15th century, you know, around the time of European contact, through the present. It's always been that. The problem with the courses that had previously existed was that there are only so many weeks in the year. There's only so much time you can spend covering all that. And so teachers had tended to trim off the early part, and then you hit the Revolutionary Era, and then the periods became very, very finely divided. Well, our problem with that kind of thing was that while the students were getting a lot on the, say, on the 19th century, post-Revolutionary America, they knew nothing about the context from which the revolutionary movements grew. So the idea was never to stint on coverage and never to leave out figures or topics of significance.
Which leads to the question of how much leeway an AP history high school teacher has, you know, to do kind of the zooming in and out.
Well, I think they've got a lot more leeway now than they did when they had this laundry list of topics they were expected to cover. You know, in the old days, let's see, when you got to the 1840s, you had to cover reform movements. I'll give you that just as an example. And there are an awful lot of reform movements in the 1840s, dealing with everything from prison reform to women's rights to slavery to diet reform. The graham cracker, for example, was invented in the 1840s as a part of a reform movement. So you had this welter of stuff that the teachers were expected to cover and indeed to at least make a nod to everything on that laundry list of reform movements. But there are only really a couple of really important ones that merit a lot of attention because they have greater consequences. So the teachers had a lot more ability to drop down now into topics that are of real significance, such as the abolitionist movement, such as women's rights or prison reform.
The Republican National Committee denounced the new AP history framework in August. In a resolution, the RNC says it excludes discussion of the U.S. military, no battles, commanders, or heroes, and omits many other individuals and events, including George Washington, Martin Luther King Jr., and the Holocaust. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think that's a misconception. It's certainly one of the issues that got my attention and got me concerned when the Colorado State Board of Education was considering a similar resolution.
Yeah, let me just say, by way of explanation, that the chairman of Colorado State Board of Education, Paul Lundeen, who's a Republican from Monument, actually drafted a resolution in August that is similar to the RNC's. It has not moved forward, and it claims that the new AP framework has a biased and inaccurate view of many important events in American history. And so it was at that point that you started to get concerned, you say?
Oh, yes, because it imputed motives to the redesign commission that I'd participated in, which, you know, weren't accurate. They didn't represent what we were after. And so I became concerned that there was a misunderstanding here. And so that I drafted a memorandum, and a colleague from another university, University of Northern Colorado, Fritz Fischer, got involved in giving public testimony there. They withdrew the resolution from the vote, which was planned. And I think I hope we managed to clear up what the intention was behind the redesign.
Well, yeah, let me just ask, what was the heart of the misunderstanding? Specifically, well, as it relates maybe to something like, I don't know, the Holocaust or the military?
Well, the military is a good example. The critique offered was that it didn't talk about wars or battles. Well, but the old curriculum hadn't talked about wars and battles and military heroes, except as bits of information along this long kind of breadcrumb train of facts that the students were supposed to pick up on the way to the exam. The new framework actually puts a lot more emphasis on critical military events and their consequences than the old one did. So there's a lot more expectation that students are going to be able to compare, for example, strategies pursued by American generals in the Revolutionary War and the Civil War, which are really quite different conflicts, or the Civil War versus the Second World War. And, you know, speaking as somebody who's written for most of his career about the history of war in America, that was what I wanted when I was participating in this redesign commission.
We spoke with Larry Krieger. He's a retired high school history teacher. He taught in New Jersey for many years, and he has taken issue with the new AP framework. He spoke in Texas before the ban there. He testified to the state of Colorado. You know, he says that the idea of American exceptionalism is missing. That's the idea that America is, as he says, a force for good in the world. What's your response?
Well, American exceptionalism is a fascinating concept. Effectively, it's a faith position. That is to say, it's sort of like intelligent design. It can't be disproven or proven by evidence. And historians are bound by evidence. So we can talk about, and I would be glad to talk about, and I do in fact talk about in my courses, where the idea of American exceptionalism comes from. But that's different from affirming its truth.
You know, another criticism from conservatives who have been seeking bans or moratoria on the implementation of the new framework is that there's no discussion of the founding fathers, the principles of the Declaration of Independence, and the religious influences on the nation's history.
It's a misconception that the absence of a mention of a person in the connection means that that person should not be addressed. So, for example, you know, the Constitutional Convention is obviously part of AP course instruction. It's central to it. To talk about the Constitutional Convention, you have to talk about George Washington, about Benjamin Franklin, about James Madison, about, you know, the whole crew of folks who were sitting there sweating away. You can't escape them. You wouldn't want to. It's fascinating. And so, of course, teachers, that's one of the points at which teachers dive down, but they're not named, not specified in the framework. Why is that? Well, that's because the people who drafted the detailed guidelines in the framework, I imagine, assumed that teachers, you know, teach AP. These are usually the very best teachers in a school. They're the people who have enormous experience in teaching. You don't have to tell them to talk about Wilson and Madison and Franklin and Washington at the Constitutional Convention. they do that. They would find it incredibly condescending to be directed at that level. So the absence of mention is not in any sense an exclusion. And it's a misconception, I think, about the framework that's the case.
And to the question of religion's role in the formation of the country.
Well, that's a tough one, right? Because the Constitution doesn't mention God. And the one story is that someone later asked Alexander Hamilton why there was no mention of God in the Constitution. And he said, oh, I suppose we forgot. You know, I mean, that the point is the United States was founded on a kind of secular covenant among people who agreed on certain principles, among which was necessarily the one that no religion should enjoy the support of the state. The United States, that is to say, that's the business of the states. If a state wished to establish a religion, as the New England states did during the early national period, post-revolutionary period, they're free to do it. It's just that the federal government couldn't get involved in it because that would have torn the republic apart.
Are you prepared to testify, if needed, at the Jeffco School Board if they have questions about the formation of the AP framework?
Well, I'll talk to anybody that wants to hear the story of the Redesign Commission and the realignment of AP U.S. history course, because I just like it to be understood. I think a lot of misapprehension has arisen from people's lack of information about our intention. And I seriously doubt that any school board, you know, would want to lecture for me. But if they asked, sure, I'd be glad to talk to them.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Fred Anderson is a history professor at CU Boulder who helped the College Board develop a new approach to teaching AP history. We have repeatedly tried contacting Jefferson County School Board member Julie Williams for comment. She wrote the original resolution calling for the creation of a curriculum review committee. She has not responded. We also reached out to Paul Lundeen, who chairs the State Board of Education. As we mentioned, Lundeen proposed a resolution similar to the Republican National Committee's, then pulled it, he says, because it could interfere with local decision-making. In an email, he said he was unavailable, but suggested we talk to Larry Krieger, the retired New Jersey high school teacher, who's leading the national fight against the new AP history framework. In August, Krieger testified before the Colorado Board of Education. He also testified in Texas. He says the old AP approach used through last year didn't need to be changed.
The 2013 test had six questions on quotes. It had cartoons. It had maps. It had graphs and charts. All the various skill elements that they say they're adding have actually been there all along. And the old exam had two 35-minute essays permitting kids to think in depth. The new one, just one. So really, the old exam, the old flexible topical outline were vastly superior to the new one.
He adds his fundamental concern is that the new framework
presents a unrelenting negative portrayal of the American experience. At the same time, it omits the key concept of American exceptionalism, the belief that our country has a mission to defend and protect democratic ideals at home and around the world. That concept is missing, as are all the seminal documents from Winthrop City on a Hill to the Gettysburg Address to Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech.